I'm rolling.
I'm Mervs.
All right, we're all good now.
So I always liked it and wanted to do it. And because of the public school system that we had, there was an opportunity to get into it, and it just kind of grew from there.
And what is it about music that made you say, wow, this is something I want to do kind of for the rest of my life? Like, it's a passion, basically.
It is a passion. I enjoy it. It makes me happy, it makes me feel good, and you know, it's mostly fun. Not always fun, but mostly fun. And so, over time, I thought, you know, this is something that I would like to do for a living.
Yeah, and as we sit in this beautiful space at the Animal Theater here, do you get any vibes when you walk into a place like this?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, the ambiance of the place is just great. And when I walk in here, I know that something good is about to happen.
And it's worth pointing out that we're sitting in, you know, the baby space.
Yes, we're in the recital hall, yes.
Yeah. And I see we've got a piano set up here. You're going to do something. What you got?
You don't want to hear me play piano, trust me.
What is your name?
My main instrument was the saxophone.
Oh, I did too. I played saxophone. Mm-hmm.
Okay, really? Awesome.
Yeah. And are you still picking up from the time? You gotta get out there and show those youngsters this is how we do it?
I don't have time, unfortunately.
Corey, you don't have time to get up there and high step and show them.
If I get up there high step, I'll injure myself.
Now, one of the interesting things I thought that we chatted a little bit about was this was a job that you didn't really plan for. It wasn't something you kind of saw yourself fall into. How was that?
Well, you know, my predecessor, Mike Lacrone, was here for 50
years. Who
is
Mike Lacrone? Do they know him around here?
Oh, yeah. Of course they know him. You know, interestingly enough, I saw him the other night. You know, he's done a lot for the band program and a lot for the university. And so, me not wanting to be here didn't have anything to do with him as a person or anything like that. But just the fact that anytime you're walking into a position where the person before you has been there 50 years, at least I think most normal people would want to think twice about doing that.
I mean, and you're really talking about the Tom Brady of college bands.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean,
how do you follow Tom Brady? Bill Belichick couldn't answer that question, could he? And I was afraid that I might not be able to answer that question. So for those reasons, I did not initially seek out this opportunity.
What made you change your mind?
Well, you know, I got a phone call. And I don't want to make it seem like I was special because I got a phone call. The reality of it is dozens upon dozens of people, if not hundreds of people, got the same phone call that I got, which was, will you consider applying for this position? What I know to be true is If I had not gotten that phone call, I would not have applied for the position. Because it's not like I didn't know it was open. You know, as soon as Mike said he was retiring, word spread like wildfire in the profession. So it's not like I didn't know that it was open. I just wasn't interested in it. And so, you know, that phone call kind of changed everything.
Yeah. And where does a position directing the University of Wisconsin Marching Band fit in the realm of marching band types of jobs? Like, why did you want, once you kind of started looking more seriously at it?
Well, you know, when I think of the University of Wisconsin, we're talking about a very prestigious university, both in terms of academics and what it does in terms of athletics. And then I was very familiar with the band program here, not just the marching band, but the other bands too, and the history of the band program. So there's a significant history here that even predates Mike LaCrone when we're talking about the band profession. And then, of course, there's a reputable school of music. And so all of those things played into my decision. And when I got that phone call, I must confess that it wasn't an immediate, yes, I will apply there. In fact, when I hung up the phone, I was fairly certain that I was not going to apply. And so then, you know, over time, you start to thinking, okay, it is the University of Wisconsin. It's in the Big Ten. And when we're talking about Big Ten and marching bands, collegiate marching bands, this is the conference where it all started. So there's you know, some great, for lack of a better term, prestige associated with being associated with a program like this and having the opportunity to work with a program like this. So over time, you start thinking about all of these things, and eventually you get to a place where you say, okay, it would not hurt to apply. And if they don't call me, they don't call me. I got a job. I was happy. I wasn't looking to leave, which is one of the good things. It's always nice when you got a job and you don't feel like you have to leave that job. So that was the position I was in. I didn't have anything to lose, so we tried.
Yeah. So, and how many strong are you marching these days? How many do you have up there?
We're about 290. About where we are, give or take a few.
How do you manage all that musically?
Oh, it's tough. It's very tough. But, you know, we try to have systematic rehearsals throughout the week. You know, during the preseason process, we're working on our warm-ups, we're building up our chops and different things like that. So the hope is that you've got a system in place that allows you to be able to learn a large volume of music quickly and hopefully at a high quality.
Now, I read that Dr. LaCrone was notorious for remembering names and cities where students came from.
Yes.
Corey, is this something that you've taken that on? You know all the band members by name and where they're from?
That's a dream that I have. And every year I say, I'm going to do better than I did the last year. So I know a lot of names. I do not confess that I can name every single person if you ask me to. Faces, I'm good. Even in life outside of band, that's an issue that I have.
What's my name?
Well, I know your name.
Cool. What did you say?
Merv. But you know, the thing is, there are people in my life that I've known.
Camera one, name.
there are people that I've known for years and years and years. I know the face. I can tell you everything about it. I can tell you conversations we had. But if you ask me the name, I'm going to struggle. And then when I'm not doing anything, not thinking about it, all of a sudden, it'll come to me.
I don't know why you seem like you have a chip on your shoulder and not remember it.
No chip. But it is a gift that Mike had that, or has, that I wish I had.
Yeah, and does he have his hand at all on things that you're doing usually?
No, he's great. You know, he is one of our biggest cheerleaders and supporters. But when he stepped aside, he stepped aside. And he's available if I have questions or I want to know something or something historically that I'm trying to find out. He's great about that, but unless I ask.
What's the biggest thing that he's giving you as a tip?
You know, it's interesting. When I first got the job, the band directors, Mike and I, we had breakfast. And this was my first time getting to know him and different things like that. And someone leaned over and said, "Mike, do you have any advice for Corey?" Mike shook his head and said, "No." So as you can imagine, I'm sitting there thinking, "Oh goodness, what does this mean?" And then after a dramatic pause, I would say, he said, "No, do what you know how to do." And that's been the best advice that I got from him. Because if I tried to be him, I would fail. And I would fail miserably. So I really appreciated him telling me that you do what you know how to do. And he also mentioned in that breakfast that the previous director or major director, because there was a transition period, but the previous major figure in the band program did the same for him.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, in terms of the work that goes into preparing for a performance on a halftime in front of 80,000 folks just in person. What kind of work do you guys put in to prepare for just one of those halftime shows?
How much time do I have? You know, we start in the spring. And so pretty soon, within the next few weeks, we are going to send a survey out to the students in the band, asking them what music they would like to play. And then we'll get the survey, we'll go through it, and we'll find some ideas.
Did that matter to you? Like you really listen to
it? We do listen to it. Now, that's not to say every single thing that we played came from their ideas. But if I look at the shows that we did in the fall, most of them were ideas that students presented. And often, when it's really great is when I'm thinking about something or something the staff member is thinking about something, and then you find out several students are also thinking about the same thing. And so we can kind of be on the same page in that way. For example, I was really interested in doing a Frank Sinatra show. A lot of the students were interested in doing a Frank Sinatra show, so we did Frank Sinatra. So those surveys are very, very important. And we take them seriously, we go through them, and try to find ideas that we think will work. Again, that's not to say every single suggestion in there makes its way into the field, and that's not to say that we play things that were not in that survey. But there's a healthy mix. So that happens in the spring, and then from there, we hear from the athletic department on such and such date, you are going to have this much time for halftime.
How much time do you get to get?
Well, it depends. You know, for us, 10 minutes is a good number. Sometimes it can be as high as 12 or as low as 6 or 7, depending on what they've got going for that week or the theme that they're needing to push. So once we have an idea of what the repertoire is going to be for the fall, then we try to slot things in various places. And then this is just a matter of creating those arrangements and different things like that. And we are doing this throughout the entire summer. This is what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah. And we know it's called a marching band.
Yes.
So which is more important, the music or the marching?
You're trying to get me in trouble here. I'll answer that question very shortly. But just so that people have an idea of how much preparation goes into getting ready, we rehearse nearly 10 hours a week for game days. And it takes that much time to get ready. So if we've got a 1 week preparation, we've put in nearly 10 hours. If we've got a 2 week preparation, meaning a 1 week preparation would be you had a game on Saturday, you come in on Tuesday, and you've got another game on Saturday, and that's all the time you get. If you've got a 2 week preparation, meaning there's a week in between, that takes about 20 hours.
So when you have 290 plus folks playing music like that, can you hear a wrong note from that one horn?
Yes. Yes. Most of the time. Now, I'm not going to confess that I can hear it all the time, but often.
And is everything just shut down?
No, it doesn't shut down. You know, you know, they'll hear it, and they can correct it on their own. Now, if you hear it too many times at that point, you have to say, all right, we need to double check this. Now, you asked a question a few moments
ago. Yeah, you started feeling it.
That I said, oh, yes, I remember now. In an ideal world, the marching and the music will have equal footing, and they will be both grand.
Why do you have that evil grin on your face right now?
Well, you know, I'm also a musician, you know. And so, you know, if you're asking my personal feeling is that the music is the most important thing. However, not everybody feels that way. Not even within our organization.
I also read too that when Dr. LeBron was here, when he first took over, he was known for creating this band that was more athletic than
the
other bands that were out there.
Yes.
What does that involve?
It involves a lot of practice and a lot of
bands were doing the high step and that kind of stuff.
Right? Well, you know, bands were doing the high step. You know, bands were doing the high step. His innovation was how we do the high step. Because if you look at the HBCUs, they all high step for the most part.
Southern University.
Yes,
the
indeed.
Human jukebox.
Yes, the human jukebox. But they don't high step in the same way that we do, and no other Big Ten high steps in the same way that we do. So that was his innovation and contribution to the band, which is significant. And we spend an inordinate amount of time perfecting that and making sure that we're able to play the music and execute the step at the same time.
Is it hard to get on as a band or here?
It's challenging.
It
really depends on the section example, in our band, the trumpets and trombones are the largest section. By far. There's not even close. And so, if I'm a trumpet player and I'm interested in getting in the UW band, that's not as difficult as someone that is interested in playing clarinet. You know, so for example, we've got nearly 100 trumpet players, but clarinets, they're in the low teens. So it's much more difficult to get in the band as a clarinet player than it is to get in the as a trumpet player, just because of the sheer numbers. Having said that, you know, we try to take as many people as we can, and if someone shows musical aptitude and we have space, we'll often train them on another instrument.
Are they all on scholarships or are they?
That is a dream of mine.
Another dream?
That is a dream of mine. No, they're not on scholarship. And so the students in the band do it because they love it. Now we have a handful of awards or so, but those aren't scholarships. Those are just a donor, you know, wants to award someone for meritorious service, but it's only a year. Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where if you make the marching band, we're in a position to say you're going to get this much money every year for 4 years. We don't have that, and that is a dream of mine to be able to do something like that.
I'd love to hear your perspective on what it feels like to be standing in a 10-foot ladder in front of all those people, you know, controlling all that music. What's that feeling like for you?
I hope you couldn't hear that. My stomach's growling. It's almost lunchtime. I hope it didn't make it. You could hear it.
No, I was okay. Just.
This growl that was going through me. It's hard to describe because it's what I do, and I don't think about it. You know, I enjoy it. You know, when we perform for thousands and thousands of people, it's an enjoyable experience. And I love it when I feel like the band is kicking on all cylinders. And so I'm very proud of the students at that point. But I don't know how I would describe it.
Yeah, I mean, you get that rock star sensation that you always hear people talk about?
No.
The adrenaline, does that get into you?
I try not to let the adrenaline get into me. I try as best I can to be even keeled about what we are getting ready to do. Now, that's not to say I'm not excited. Now, well, I'm not talking about the act of leading the music and conducting the music. That's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about, you know, getting ready to go and doing what we do, and then the band's just performed, we're done, and now we've got to go to the next phase. That's kind of what I'm talking about. It's just, you know, what I do. And it's interesting, too, that I'm having such a difficult time describing that because, I step on the football field every week. And I know that it's a special place. I know that it's a historic place. I know these things. But for me, I'm just stepping on the football field. I'm getting rid of the work. But then you see someone that has the opportunity to step on the football field that has never been on the football field in that place, in that time. And it's a totally different experience for them.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I'm trying to get at I say it's what I do, and I do it every day, and I don't think about it. It's probably a much different experience for someone that doesn't do it as regularly and then has the opportunity to stand in front of those people and lead. That's not to say I'm ungrateful. I'm very, very grateful and very fortunate to be in this position. But it's a way of life more so than anything else. It's just what we do.
And you brought up HBCUs and the bad tradition at some of those schools down there. And, having gone to one, a lot of times the band is a bigger deal than the football teams or the basketball teams that they play for. Mm-hmm. So when I go to UW games, my friends literally make fun of me because I'm focused on that band.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain level of tradition that comes with that, but I'm wondering if the UW band is getting that kind of reputation for itself. And I know it has been in a certain sense, but is it getting to that level to where the band is sometimes bigger than the sport? Careful with that
answer. You have to be very careful. I don't dare say that the band is bigger than the sport. However, I talk to a lot of people every week that for them, the band is bigger than the sport. And now, I try to decide if I'm going to say what I'm going to say. So I'm going to say it. You know, when everybody's winning, everybody's happy. But when the team loses, the band wins. And people are very appreciative of that.
I think I know what you mean by that because, we lost a lot in basketball when I was in college. And we lost a lot in football when I was in college. But man, when that band came on, we got on up because the music was so good.
Mm-hmm. I want the band to be a point of pride for everybody in there. And so we work very hard to be consistent from week to week. Well, I shouldn't lie. That's a lie. Because we don't want to be consistent from week to week. We always want to get better as the week progresses. But the point I'm trying to make is we want to be the best that we can be, and we want to put a product that makes people proud. And sometimes when things are not going as well athletically as we all would like it to be, we're fortunate that for a lot of people, they can still point to the band and be proud.
Yeah. And we all know that the band has arms in a lot of different activities, football, mm-hmm. basketball, mm-hmm. hockey. Give us a sense of all the different avenues you guys have in terms of sports and different sports around the games.
Yeah, it's quite tough. We perform for six sports, football being the big one. And then you got men and women's basketball, you got women's volleyball, and then men and women's hockey. And so we try to do as much as we can for all of those sports. Now, often, we're not able to do as much as we would like to do or as much as people would like to see us do. And that's mainly because, they're students. There's a finite amount of things that we can do. And so we really have to be careful that we're not overextending the students.
How do you balance the playlist for those different sports? How does that differ?
That's a good question.